Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special edition of the Televangelist Podcast. It's been a little while since we've talked about a TV show, and if there's any TV show that's worthy of this, a special episode, it would be The Boys in general. If you're not watching this, you should stop listening to this podcast. Not sure why people give spoiler warnings anymore. I feel like they should say it should be like a spoiler-free alert if it is a spoiler-free, because who wants to listen to non-spoiler podcast about TV shows and movies? But I mean, every now and then, I guess, maybe, but for the most part, the ones that make the money are the ones that are spoiling it. But this, it will spoil all seasons of The Boys, including season 3. I am joined by my co-host, Sam Howe, my very, very special guest. We always do these, what would you say we're doing? A lot of superhero stuff we end up doing?
Yeah, I think so. And this is kind of, for me, the pinnacle of the superhero genre right now, which is, I'm sure you're going to get some shit because people love Marvel, but I love The Boys.
I mean, you can't really beat it. I'd say you just have to be in a different kind of mood because it's very cynical. So like, I can't judge, let's see, something like the Christian Festival, maybe for season 1 or season 2.
Yeah.
What are they, Capes for Christ? And that kind of thing. When they deconstruct stuff like that, or they deconstruct the celebrities.
Like Stormfront's whole arc in season 2, where she says like, they love what I had to say. They believe in it. They just don't like the word Nazi. I was like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, and they that hit.
Yeah, they deconstruct so many things that are going on in our society. And then, which is satirical and sometimes just cutting. And then you have moments where like, I'm with you till the end of the line. You know what I mean? So it's like, I can't even put those two things together, or when like, or just the joy of seeing all those Black people on screen, or Black Panther, or when everybody came back in Endgame. Like, I don't know how to even, like, it is the same genre, but it's not, you know?
It's actually a really good point, is that like, superhero stories, I think that that's actually kind of a mistake, is that this idea that they're all the same, is that you should be using the genre to tell different kinds of stories.
Exactly.
It's kind of the Star Wars trap, where you don't have, like, the Mandalorian's so good because it's basically a samurai, like, Western story, and you can tell all sorts of different stories in these universes, and it's great that you have the ability to tell something like The Boys, and that you have something like Black Panther.
Yeah, that would be the Boys is the deconstruction of the genre, which I enjoy that. But yeah, I don't know. But all I know is when I'm watching each one of them, I love them and I wouldn't trade it, you know, either one for the other one. So you and Keith did a season 2, I think, recap. But what have you thought of season 3 so far?
So I binge I actually like the model. They do this. So does Hulu does it. I think did it at least with Only Murders in the Building, where they drop a few episodes to begin with.
Like 3.
And then they go week by week. And I was honestly really disappointed with like the first 3 episodes.
Oh, really?
There was a few things. First of all, have you read the comic?
Not enough of it. Maybe the first 5 issues.
Mike Egan, shout out to Mike Egan, who made this point, and it was a great one, which was that I don't know if Garth Ennis did this coming off of his Punisher or if it was like partially concurrent, but his Punisher was
amazing.
It's
I've read in my life.
It's one of the, like, the best deconstructions of the military industrial complex. And I feel like Garth Ennis is like, okay, that was like jet black, serious, dark. And he did something that was a lot more of his humor. And I'm not a fan of his humor. And I felt like the first 3 episodes did lean way too much on like the
just a bit.
Yeah. And I was really disappointed with, I'm hoping that either Stormfront is not dead, or my initial thought, and it's, we'll get more to this, but the show has surprised me in a way that a lot of shows don't. I expected that we were going to find out that, Stan Edgar says that superheroes are bad product to Dakota Bob. And I thought, oh, he's trying to get rid of the superheroes he killed Stormfront to push Homelander over the edge. But I thought that they really, like, bringing her back for what was, like, basically a joke about a hand job and then killing her off, really, like, for who is my favorite character, like, from a fascination standpoint in season two, to have that happen was really disappointing. And they've come back in the last three episodes and just done so much, like, really been brave in terms of, like, not giving a fuck about, like, if you like these characters, as long as you're interested in them.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought, now I am not, and one of the things that actually allowed me to look at this kind of stuff is the Punisher comic, because I am not a very graphic, I was raised kind of conservatively, at least in the religious way, and there was a time where I didn't watch rated R movies and I didn't watch or read or any kind of that kind of stuff. And so when I got away from it, it still wasn't like my lane. Like, I would, but I was so used to it, made me a little squeamish to it. But man, the Punisher comic was so good with Garth Ennis, I pushed through it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, my tolerance grew. So, but it wasn't, well, I'm not gonna say that. I'm not gonna say it wasn't gratuitous for gratuity's sake, but it was on that line. Obviously, The Boys is gratuitous for the sake of being gratuitous, or just for being funny or dark humor. But, and as I said in the thread, it's the only show like that I've ever watched, or movie, where it was so good that I didn't care. And I almost, like, I wouldn't say I like being grossed out, but I'm close. Like, I'm close to, like, and that's part of their problem, I think, is they feel like they have to top it. And that's what you were getting at. They had to top it. So now we're going inside of a penis and making a man explode from the inside. They feel like they have to top every year just to be a little bit more gross.
And it's something where, like, if you're going to do it in service, like, initially doing it in the first season made sense because they wanted to establish this world where you have superheroes who are basically celebrities and sociopaths. And the idea that you've lost touch with reality and you get into these very, like, you lose touch with sort of, like, normalcy. And so you get into these deviant practices. And I saw that, you know, it was one thing with, like, Herogasm, where I was like, okay, this is in service of a larger story point. And even, like, there was some humor to Mother's Milk, like, just how uncomfortable he was. And knowing that he's a germophobic OCD to, yeah. Like, nah. Where he's like, that's sticky, and the guy's like throwing ropes, like, that was funny to me. But the whole thing where it felt in service of the larger story, whereas the scene with them going inside of the urethra, I was just like, okay, like, I get why you're doing it, and it's technically impressive, but it wasn't like, I didn't see it as in service of the larger story. It didn't tell me anything or show me anything with the characters that I saw that I didn't know prior. Like, Butcher's frustrated that he's under Huey. Superheroes are debauched. Like, that scene didn't tell me anything. And other than, like, wow, like, they built a giant urethra that somebody crawled through. Like, kudos. Well done, guys. Not necessary, but kudos. And I also thought there was a lot of, though they did packed a lot of, I felt like, getting season two put to bed and then setting up season three in those first three episodes.
Yeah, they did. They kind of did. I will say, this is just random, but I feel like it's just not a big deal that they basically have a proxy character for AOC and nobody says anything and she blows up people's heads.
Well, I mean, Homelander's Donald Trump. Like,
it's more explicit, but I mean, a Trump parody at this point is not
a
big deal, but especially, and then when they did it, I think she came in, was it season one or season two of Victoria Newman? So I'm like, they're just like an AOC character. Nobody ever talks about it. Nobody asked her. Nobody, it's just like AOC.
She, like, even to the point where I don't believe she's Latina, but I think that, like, she kind of looks like AOC.
She looks very much like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, and they brought her off as very charismatic and young. and hip with social media and things like that. So I'm kind of like, and I mean, I'm not against it. It's just,
they've kind of dropped it. I mean, have you noticed, like, she's been, like, I think that she, you know, was a big deal at first. And then when Edgar was deposed, she's like, I don't think she appeared in the fourth or the fifth episode.
If it was briefly, but she did definitely had that moment with Starlight this episode. So I don't know. Do you think we're going to see Edgar again? That's kind of weird when he's not on the show. I like that he balanced Homelander.
I thought that, and the thing that's impressed me the most was that early on, my prediction was that we were, like I said, that Edgar was going to be trying to edge out
Homelander
or superhero. Homelander to get rid of the soups to get out of the business, and that Victoria Newman was going to end up being the thought proxy as the vice president to Dakota Bob. And the latter might happen, but they really zigged. You know, Edgar being taken down was something that was shocking to me. I did not see that coming. And I think that they've done a good job. Starlight quitting was something I was like, oh, wow, I didn't, you know, I doubt it takes, but I thought that it was, they've really done big story things. And it's something that, this is a big comparison, but work with me here, Breaking Bad used to do, which was they would not necessarily take the easy story route or the predictable one,
but
it worked.
That's a good point. I was about to have a heart attack. You comparing to Breaking Bad, even though, you know, I do enjoy the show, but something different. But I think they keep you on your toes. It's not predictable, and I think sometimes the gross out stuff is subterfuge to distract you from what's going on. But let's go through some of the characters and their character arc. What have you thought of Huey this season?
I thought that they've done the whole drug addiction thing. Like, the show is not subtle. And I think that kind of, like, it's meant to not be subtle. Like, I'm actually kind of okay with that. That there are some things that you shouldn't be subtle about. And it makes total sense why Butcher and Huey would go after start using that V24. And I think that his character has wanted to feel powerful, and that's part of what was so shocking about the moment with A-Train, was that he was made to feel completely powerless. And he's, you know, for the last year had working for the Bureau of Superhuman Affairs, was able to feel powerful. Like, he was running Butcher, he was running with Victoria Newman, who was this up-and-coming politician, and then to find out that the ground's yanked out from under him, and, you know, Starlight is in mortal peril. There's also that PTSD response where she's, you know, this woman that he loves, the second woman that he's ever loved, is threatened, and now he's taking extreme actions. And I think that it's a logical response. I believed that the character of Huey, and honestly, like, I don't know what this says about me, but I understand the feeling of like we can't win this doing it like the nice, respectable, civil way. We have to go and do things ugly and, you know, get our hands dirty. And so I understood his arc and I respected it. And I thought that it was, I'm very interested to see where they go with it.
With Huey, I think he might be the weaker. Like, it worked in the first couple seasons, but I think he's the weakest character, not just his personality, but just with his motivations and with how three-dimensional he can be or he is. I like him, but it's like, you're this wimpy, meek guy and you're doing it for your girlfriend, and then you just get deeper and deeper and deeper. It's hard to believe that he would keep going back to me. I don't know. And in his original thing, A-Train, he wanted the apology, but that's not even his motivation anymore. And I get that he's deeper and deeper into it, and I don't think it's a bad thing because the show has so many characters, but I find Huey to have the weakest motivation and storylines. And I enjoy him because he's a likable actor and a likable character. But now it's like, oh, I want to save Starlight and I don't have the power. And they're kind of making him into, like, not that a lot of men wouldn't have this problem, but they're kind of making him into like, well, what they would call now a male chauvinist, but like a stereotypical man almost.
So it's kind of interesting where the story is going with it, because you were right. I think that he had the clearest, easiest arc from start to finish, which was his first love dies. He wants to get revenge. And now they've expanded beyond that. And he's obviously the audience surrogate, like the introduction character. I think that the Starlight says it again in the last episode where she's like, I thought that it was the drugs, but this is just you. And I think part of Huey's problem is that he's never felt important or powerful. And now the V is giving him an opportunity to. And I think that it's kind of interesting to see what they do with this, because is he doing the drugs, and is he doing the V24 because of this goal to get the soups eradicated, or is he doing it because he likes the feeling of power?
Yeah.
And maybe the issue with Starlight is that he finally has the ability to feel powerful and he doesn't want to give that up.
And they have to go somewhere with them, but I just don't feel like his backstory is he's the motivation for the whole story to get started. But then when it scales, it's a lot of shows have this. When you scale it out from the original inciting incident, when you're doing multiple seasons, like, what do you do with that? And I just think it's just a limited ceiling. But so let's stay with that category. Starlight, to some degree, when other people say it, I notice it, but I don't notice it. I enjoy the actress. I enjoy the fact that she comes from this conservative background, but she's not like totally trashing it, like it's so easy to do, but mm-hmm. she's there to be the eyes of the viewers in this world and what she was taught. And she has like the good stuff from it, but not the bad stuff. But I will say, and some people on the page brought it up, like, how many times is she gonna cross Homelander and not die?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And it's one thing that I think that is going to surprise people who know my politics, which run pretty hard to the left. But I think that there is, spoiler. But I think that there's a lot of positive, like I don't think that the world that she comes from is completely evil or negative. And I think that a lot of like the empathy that she has and a lot of the deep caring is something that springs from the conservative Christianity that she comes from. And I think that it's important to show that it's not, that there are people and there is good that is done by that world. I think that the other thing about her is, you're right, is in terms of crossing Homelander, I think that what we've seen is the first time he basically threatened her, it's sort of the three strike thing, which is the first time he threatened her. The second time he killed somebody tangential to her, but not somebody who was especially close to her.
Yeah.
And now, like, to me, the thought that I had when it happened was like, not so much Huey, but like, what about her mom? Because like, that's who I would be really worried about if I were her. And I know she's kind of a fraught relationship, but like, Homelander, that's who Homelander is going to go after. Because remember, he explicitly threatened her mother and Huey. And Huey is, I guess, kind of out of reach at this point. But definitely, like, there's going to be blowback. But Starlight kind of did this publicly, and it's going to be interesting. And I think that'll be the other commentaries. I don't think that it's going to hurt Homelander the way that she thinks it is.
And that's one of the things. I don't have many criticisms, but the only criticism that I thought of while watching the show is they almost retconned the importance of the tape, of the airline tape, for the people. If you're remembering, Homelander and Maeve are on the airliner, and Homelander basically just refuses to save these people before a multitude of reasons that in a sick way made sense, but it looks horrible. But Maeve was like, oh, that was always a bluff. Homelander is a weird character. We're not here yet because I just can't figure out if he's smart or not. So you can think about answering that question later. But that was the thing that ended season two and neutralized him. Now they're like, oh, it's not really a big, very big deal. That can't stop him.
I think that that's actually an interesting evolution, which is that what it was the fear for Homelander of people finding out and seeing the real him and not liking him. I think that there's the scene that he has where he gives that speech in, and I think that was the moment that the tape stopped being worthwhile was, I don't think that people would see that and hate Homelander at this point. And I think he realizes that. Whereas before, his biggest fear was not being 100% popular. And I think what he's realized is like, oh, I'm still going to be really popular.
Or at least get the 50% or whatever. But I still, and now the good thing about this show, whereas a lot of shows, these criticisms that we think of, they address them now. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, with Starlight, they give you the popularity excuse. So they give you at least a rationale. Some shows would just leave that out, but at least they've thought of it. Now, whether you think it's strong enough, I do think the popularity, especially when Homelander was struggling before that speech, when he kind of just showed himself. But I still think that tape would be pretty rough. And you see him in the mirror, whether that's multiple personalities or some kind of episode or whatever that was in the mirror with him talking to himself. He still wants to be loved, at least a part of him, but that other part is taking more control, so we can go to him. So Homelander this season, I love, I think his name, what is his name? Anthony
Starr.
He is amazing in the way, because every scene that I see Homelander in, even though less this season, but still for the most part, like I think he could kill somebody in any minute. And there's this terrifying feeling in any scene he's with someone. And that part I really like, in the coldness of it. You see his character deconstructed a lot. So my question for you, and I think you'll have a good answer, is he smart or dumb?
I think that he is. I think that he is smart. I think he's savvy. I think that smart is such an ephemeral term, in that I think that he's smarter but deeply insecure. I think that is his biggest problem. Mm-hmm. Is that he's so terrified. Like one of the funniest scenes, like low key things that like made me laugh when a friend reminded me of it, is that he deep fires everyone in the crime division who's insulted Homelander, and it's left, or like is not totally loyal to Homelander, and it's left to just like the deep and one other person.
yeah. Right.
And I think that like Homelander in his like, intellectually is like, well, that's fucking stupid. Like that's no, you have to bring these people back. But I think that the character is so dangerously insecure and realizes that should not be CEO of this giant company.
Yeah.
That he's like, does not want to risk showing weakness. So I think that, is he smart? Yes. But I think that his insecurity makes him, is his biggest weakness. Yeah. Because he's going to fuck stuff up. Like what happens when it comes out that like, you have no, like you have one person here, like you have the resources. Why aren't you using them? Like, why did you not catch Soldier Boy?
He's not, I think he's smart, but not smart enough to know how dumb he is or what he doesn't know. And I think part of narcissism is like, you can't really evaluate your strengths and your weaknesses. So because he can be very savvy, but he can't maneuver with the people like Gus Fring. What's his name on the show?
Stan Edgar.
Yeah, Stan Edgar. He can't maneuver with them at the very top. And you could be a brilliant person and not be able to be a CEO of a company with no business experience. You know what I mean? So it's like, you can't, that doesn't mean you're not a smart person, but he's not willing. And I guess when you're all powerful too, it's kind of hard to, it's like the athletes that think they can do anything. It's like you're a god in this one area. So yeah, of course I can be a businessman. Of course I can be a politician. Of course I can be even an analyst, you know? And I think it's kind of like that too.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And I think that it's another area where the Trump allegory happens, though Trump is not the only person. That you see all of these like Silicon Valley weirdos, like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, and these people who think like, well, I was able to do this one very specific thing, so clearly I'm qualified to do a million other things. Like, no, man, like, you don't know what you don't know. And you're right about the narcissism. And I think that the menace that Anthony Starr brings to that character, there's so many moments where he's so, he's basically indestructible at this point. Like, I don't know what would kill him.
Yeah, well, it looked like they had him. I don't know what they were going to do to him, but it looked like they had him. It took three of them.
Yeah, I mean, but think about that. And he's so unbeatable at this point and physically that, but he's this way because they raised him in a lab. Like he doesn't understand so much of the superheroes that we see. Like you think about somebody like Superman, and part of what makes Superman amazing is that he has this innate goodness to not abuse it, and that he was raised and all of those things that like a normal person just wouldn't be.
But he has humanity, even though he's not human. But yeah.
And he's not insecure, and he's able to, you know, just all of these things that Homelander is not and does not have a frame of reference for dealing with. And so is he smart? Yes, in a very specific way. Like I think that he realized enough to be like, oh no, this is not going to end well for me if this gets out. But I think that he also realizes now that like going back to the video of the plane, like that was what, 2 or 3 years ago now?
Yeah, it would be a long time ago.
And it comes out where it's like, wait, so you knew that this guy.
Yeah, they look bad too.
Yeah, it's the further we get away from it, the further it's, and now that he is, and now that he's sort of in this position, like, yeah, I think that it would make Starlight look really bad to be like, wait, you were holding this to blackmail him? Like, well, that's not good.
Yeah. I mean, they could try to say how horrible he is, but yeah, I just don't. Do you think we're ever going to get, well, I know we probably, well, I don't know. That might be a good question. Do you think we're going to ever get just full out Injustice Superman Homelander, if not worse?
I think that there's a problem. So this is what the series runs into. I think that he will certainly try. Like, I think that there will be a point where Homelander decides that he needs to be in charge. I think that will be closer to the end of the series.
Uh-huh.
And that there will be a point where Homelander attempts to make a coup on the United States. And that's the point where he is killed. I don't think that you can have him running things, because it turns it into like, part of what makes the show so entertaining is that it is a slightly, it's a hyper real version of our world.
Mm-hmm.
And having him as, yeah,
it would be take everything, throw it off.
Yeah, I mean, having it where basically the boys are the resistance, and even then, how are you resistance? Like the one of the few criticisms I have is that his powers are kind of malleable or elastic, like his hearing. Like, could he hear people thousands of miles away? Like, how good is his hearing? Because you know, we see Starlight in the building where she's listening to music and is able to avoid it, but you know, how good is his hearing? Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good question too. And then he would have no out. I mean, I guess he could get allies, but like nobody really wants to be with him, not even Black Noir now. And I do think one thing they did not show, which might end up being the weakness, Soldier Boy did not shoot him with that whatever thing that got Kimiko. So in that fight, to my knowledge, he didn't catch him with that. And that was ultimately, I thought, was the thing they were supposed to get him. So we still have that. But so what do you about Soldier Boy? What do you think of him this season?
I like, again, the humor of like, I am a sucker for, and like kind of a hypocrite for this, but like the humor of him being so like of the 80s. And like there's some like where he's like asked for like I can't remember what the like the really
has like the sauce or something he wanted or something.
Yeah, he was like the oriental sauce that was like Ching Chong oriental sauce.
Yeah.
And he was like, there's so much wrong with this. And like making fun of Rambo 3 with
the Cosby joke is what got me. Well, it's a joke for them, but not he's like some strong drinks this guy serves.
Yeah. There was also like the meta joke. Have you ever seen the third Rambo movie? I have a feeling those are not yours.
I have, but like HBO used to be like a thing that was always on in my house. So I didn't like take it in, but I mean, I've seen it, but.
Yeah, we're like I think the initial credits were was like to the brave Mujahideen of Afghanistan. Like,
because he went to Afghanistan in that one, right?
Yeah, and that's
for him is though with the Reagan administration, and everything that's who we thought were like, doesn't he make a Bin Laden joke or something?
I think he was like, what happened? Like, we were friends with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. We armed them, they were like our crew, you know.
So well, that was really that was the Soviet Vietnam was
yeah there, yeah like, so we were like friend of our friend enemy kind of thing. So yeah, that part was funny. And then I thought there should have been more of that with Captain America. My theory always, and it's hard to fault Marvel but the first Avenger, a lot of that was a waste of time. We could have seen some flashbacks. It should have been this man out of time, fish out of water, straight out with Captain America, like it is in like the Ultimates. I wish it would have been like that, but because I really still don't like the first Avenger, but that's my bias against World War II movies, I guess.
I thought that the first act was great. I have issues with the rest of the movie. With Soldier Boy, what I want to go to back to is like, so I initially also thought that the Russians were not actually Russians, but or Soviets, but were actually Vought people. Mm-hmm. That was like my other initial theory was sense. he was going to be like who the Homelander was cloned from.
I still think that might be true, that he's Homelander's daddy maybe, but we'll see about that.
Yeah, it's possible. But I thought that why did like Payback, like they talked about it, like Crimson Khan is like, we hated you. Noir is very clearly terrified of him, as like when he realizes who it is, he like tears open his arm to get the tracker out. Yeah. So he can, you know, like all of that stuff. So like, I want a little bit more explanation of like what he did that made them.
That makes them so terrified. Yeah.
Yeah. And like willing to like give him over to the Russians at that point where, I mean, I guess, you know, some of it is the universe, the show, but at the time, like there was a real existential fear that the world could end via the Russians. So like you're handing them literally the biggest
weapon in the world. Yeah. You're giving Superman to them or Captain America. We could just make it more clear, but he's stronger than Captain America. So that's the only thing that's that kind of throws me off a little bit, but yeah, that is weird. They need to give, I think they will give backstory to that, but I mean, it's you know, and then, oh my gosh, I can't think of his name. The actor that plays, Soldier Boy,
Jensen Ackles.
Yeah, Jensen Ackles. Yeah, I couldn't think of his name but I love him as an actor. Anyway, I'm not even that big of a Supernatural fan, but I watched like a season or two. But I've always enjoyed him, and I enjoy his voice work on DC stuff. So yeah, I'm all in on that too. So it's good to see him in that role, and I enjoy seeing him on just the screen time. You know.
Well, it's funny. When he showed up, I thought that he was the other guy from. I thought that Jared. I got.
Oh, the other guy. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I thought he was Jared Padalecki. And when he showed up, I was like, oh, wow. Like, no, I was wrong. But yeah, he's really good. I also feel like there's something a little tragic about him in that, like, he doesn't, like, Homelander seems aware of how much his teammates hate him.
Yeah, he seems a little hurt and not, he doesn't get it.
Yeah, and he seemed really oblivious. And I kind of wonder, like, Gunpowder wasn't aware of it. Because they have that mention, there's like a throwaway line in an episode where Crimson Countess says like basically like Noir and like Countess and Noir know, but Gunpowder isn't. So we'll see. I mean, I think that there's a lot to get in the last two episodes.
And I felt like the only problem I had with this is I felt like they brought it a little bit too slow. I think it was maybe maybe episode 3 or 4 before you really, well, one episode he just comes out of it. There was a lot of talk of Soulja Boy, like 2 episodes, then you finally got to him. I wish they'd sped that part up a little bit, because I was like, well, I just want to see him. Like, I don't know what all this, you know, and maybe because I was reading a lot of the updates and stuff during the year, but I just kind of want to see the character. Like, if you want to talk about him that much, do it in season 2.
The other thing that I feel like there was a throwaway mention of him and whatever Stormfront's character's name was.
You mean in Herogasm or the previous season?
I think in Herogasm was that Liberty.
He said he created Herogasm, which the irony of that is that with Lady Liberty. So the irony is that he was working with a Nazi and he didn't know it and started Herogasm.
Which, like, was it, this is what's funny. I don't know about you, but like that was built up where people like, oh, like you're gonna see some shit.
Yeah, that was like, didn't deliver.
Well, that was like, I actually was like not looking forward to this episode.
Me either.
I was like, okay, like we're gonna, like it's gonna, like I've seen you guys go into a giant urethra. Like I don't really want to see what you think. And then it was like, yeah, you had the deep fucking an octopus, but like they really hint, like that's kind of been hinted at before.
Yeah. The only thing, you know, they had the loads of cum. I can't even saying that. Loads of cum, super cum shot on only this show would make me say that. But yeah, it wasn't as, which is fine with me. But compared to what they've conditioned us for, I wasn't grossed out.
It was, yeah. I mean, the other, like, that's the character who I'm most interested in also is Mother's Milk, because this is a guy who, like that scene that he had was heartbreaking, where he talked about like that he blamed himself for his grandfather.
Yeah, and that's what his tics come from, his OCD and all that stuff. That was very heartbreaking.
And part of like the fucked up thing about OCD is, like, as somebody who has it, like, you know what you're doing is insane and you know that it has nothing to do with it, but you can't stop. Mm-hmm. And that's like, on an intellectual level, he has to know that his grandfather, like, it's not his fault. But there's also that part of him that's like, I still have to do it. It's the only way I can stop this from happening. And he is, to me, like the moral center of the show. Like, I'm going to be bummed out. I feel like the finale is going to be him taking V24 to stop Butcher and Huey.
Yeah.
But it kind of bums me out, because I really appreciate that this guy, that he has these lines that he's not willing to cross. Like, I respect that about him. Like, when he bowed up and was ready to throw hands with Homer and a Butcher, like, dude, you know it's gonna happen, and he was just like willing to do it. Like, that was impressive to me.
That was crazy to me, but it was interesting. And then they gave him, like, in some ways, he and Starlight, I think, and she kind of got him out of it and said, hey, we got to help these people, that's not more important than your revenge, which he wasn't going to get anyway. But so I thought that was good that they show that, and they've given him a backstory. So that was good. That's been successful, I think. Much more successful than Frenchie's backstory this season. I felt like that was just kind of thrown together. It makes sense, but like, this lady really wants him that bad that she's got like over a debt, and it's not even like, I feel like it could be tied into the main story a little bit better, but it's just like over this debt of the girl. And then he's been chasing Kimiko around for 2 or 3 seasons, or maybe 3 seasons, and he can't choose between that and one of his crusty exes.
So my take on it was less that little Nina was the debt, and it was more that she was hurt that Frenchie had rejected her. I thought that I just thought that he didn't want like the ex to, like, he, like, she was, I think that it's just complicated. I kind of wonder if they're moving to offload Frenchie and Kimiko. Like, if they're going to leave at the end of the season, because I feel like that's kind of where the story is building to, is like that this is not good for them, and giving them the, like, they have the opportunity to leave now. Like, they could have, like, they've been so, like, that has been siloed off from the rest of the story in a way that, like, nothing else has.
The only thing about this show is that they don't seem to kill main characters and people don't seem to leave. So that's the thing. Some people, I've heard people make predictions about people leaving, but it makes sense. But on this show too, the morality of this show is that you always stay and fight. Like, Butcher and Huey have broken up a couple of times. Well, basically everybody but Butcher has left him at some point, but they always come back, or he always comes back, you know? So it'd be a really change of the way. I mean, that should be probably the way it is, but they had a chance to kill her this episode, and they had a chance to kill her. I thought they may have even killed her when Soldier Boy got her, but, you know, how do you, I don't know. They just don't seem to like to pull the trigger on that kind of stuff.
Well, the story arc that they're doing with her, like, cause she said, she was like, I always thought that it was the powers that made me a monster. Not I'm just a monster. And I, the ultimate, like, there are two ways they can go with this. You either like be like, I'm a monster, it's time to really just embrace that and use that to take down these worst monsters, or they can have friends. You'd be like, no, you're not a monster, it's this fucking life, we need to get away from it. And they, you know, like, if you ever, like, if we're out there, if you ever really need us, but don't come looking for us. And I actually kind of think that there's something more poignant about letting them off to have their own little, like, life together for a bit, that rather than keeping them on in this, because, like, really, like, that, like, I'm the monster is like, whoa, guys, like, you kind of got to show that she's not, like, that's kind of an important story beat. Yeah,
but if she was dead, it wouldn't even come up, so
true.
I don't like the character, but it's just how much, you know, you need some consequences a little bit on the show. So if those two characters, or one of those characters, were to die, then, you know, I don't know. I'd feel a little bit better as far as consequences go.
I'm sorry, go on.
No, you go. You
finish. Well, I was going to say, I wondered if that would be the thing. Cause, like, there's no, like, they've done an okay job with, like, how shitty it feels when you come off the V24, but there has to be something that gets them to stop taking the V24. And I wonder if accidentally killing Frenchie or accidentally killing Kimiko would be the thing that.
Especially how part of the problem of the show is that these superheroes accidentally kill people too. Like, with A-Train, even though he was doing some shitty stuff, it was an accident, and it was an accident with Soldier Boy. And I wonder if they were going to, like, a race thing with Soldier Boy, but I don't know if they'll do that. But he was, like, in this black neighborhood stopping carjackers. Doesn't seem like a job for the strongest man in the world.
You know? No, I actually, that's a good point. I wonder if it's going to turn out that he, that, like, there was something else going on there.
And it could have been, it might redeem him. I don't know yet. If they're trying to redeem Soldier Boy is, like, a good guy or a bad guy, or it's an interesting what they're trying to do. And I'm also fascinated, this is a little bit off the beaten path, I'm always fascinated with Homelander's view of race, because, like, I don't think he cares, just because it doesn't fit into his needs. But with, like, A-Train and things like that, I want them to, like, but they won't make him overtly racist on the show, basically, I guess. And he denies the Nazi stuff.
I think that he, well, it's sort of interesting, because I think that he views everyone that's not superpowered as beneath him.
That's like, true, too. He said our people to Victoria Newman.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think that he sees, like...
He doesn't see color.
Yeah, it's like the, well, I mean, but it's still like, there's, I think that he knows how to push buttons.
Yeah.
I think that it's less that he cares or sees a superiority. I almost wonder if he thinks everyone's beneath him.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter, because everybody's beneath him anyway. But he does expect a certain, I think And this might actually do that, but we need to do Billy. But I kind of, when we get to our predictions and you can like marinate on this, I think maybe he'll try to lead the superhuman people, maybe almost like a river, kind of like a Magneto thing. Because they did drop that. That's the first time they said that. He's like, he told Victoria Newman something like, you stuck with your kind or something versus Edgar.
Yeah.
But let's put a pin in that and do Billy first, and let's go to that. So Billy's arc this season, and what happened to the kid, man? They just kind of wrote off the kid, but I'm sure there'll be some redemption. He seemed like he's playing daddy. Then he broke the little kid's heart. He's starting out working for Huey, and I guess that was for him trying to be good. Putting a little Ant-Man in a bag of cocaine is good behavior for Billy. And I think it's a tribute to the show that, to me, Billy Butcher's always been the most compelling character. But this season, I would say he's not the hands-down star of the show.
No, I agree with you. And I don't think that we're getting to the point where, like, he talked about it with Maeve, is that I think we'll get to the predictions, but I think that his, like, sort of the being the mirror of Homelander, and that he hates all people who are, like, with V in their system. And I think that he's not there yet, but I think he's getting there. I think that his by any means necessary is starting to, you know, that there is less warmth to him. You know, I think letting what he did to Ryan was kind of necessary. I think that it was, you know, cruel to be kind. It was dangerous for Ryan to be coming after him, but I think that he wants to kill. By the way, that conversation that he had with Homelander earlier in the season in his apartment, did you think that that was like a dream sequence? Like, I was not certain that that really happened until.
At first I thought it was, but then when they finished, they kept talking. I was pretty sure it was real, but now it was confirmed. But when he first walked in, I was like, the fuck is this? They don't do this.
It's like, are they just like, is it like they like the old like sheepdog that would like clock out and then be friends again,
or are
like,
they just gonna play chess? Is it Magneto and Xavier, and they just play chess? And I am big into the frenemies kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But they can't be frenemies, but the begrudging respect that he has for Billy, even the think of season one, in the end of season one, he's like, and he blew him up or whatever, and Homelander took away. He's like, you're not scared. And so something about the fact that Billy doesn't fear Homelander, probably the only man in the world besides Edgar. Yeah. Some of that, you know, I think it goes with Homelander, but he was like, finally tired. He's like, I'm tired of this shit. You broke the deal. And he laser beamed him. But, you know, Carl Urban always does a good job with Billy, and he got to screw Maeve, so in a way he's kind of lost. I can't complain. He still is the driver of the action, but he's more of an instrument to move the plot along than he ever has been on this show. And it's because they're trying to give more weight to Starlight and show who she is, give more weight to a Homelander and show more of who he is, and then you have Mother's Milk and you have Frenchie, Kimiko. So somebody's got to drive the plot. So I think that's what's happened this year with Billy, and he's well established too.
I think that ultimately also that he is going to be the big bad of the series. I think
you think
that
so?
The comics, that is how it ends, is that he wants to commit superhero genocide and he's stopped. Like, he wants to, in the comics, everyone has V, like all the boys have V in their system. And it's gotten to the point where like he finds a way to be able to kill all people with compound V in their system, but it's become so like traces of it have gotten like plastic have just gotten into everyone's system. It's like he would be killing like billions of people. Population.
Mm-hmm. But he's much darker in the comics than he is.
Yes.
On the show, from what I understand. even, you know, and I do a lot of, sometimes I look at YouTube videos and stuff like that of the comics or the podcast, talk about it or whatever, but that's interesting. So, and then, so that's, let's go to our prediction section, because we even got Kimiko in there a little bit, and I don't think we need to discuss Maeve or Victoria. And she's been really reduced this year. I've been disappointed with how little they've given Maeve to do.
She has to be coming back.
Yeah, I don't think she's dead, but they treat her like Mac Noir. Like, what the hell? Like, she gets barely more screen time than him.
And he can't, like, though I was appreciative of getting a little bit of backstory for Black
Noir. Yeah, well, it's good that he could actually talk at some point, and you know, so yeah. So let's talk about my prediction. I think that Homelander is going to try to lead some sort of uprising, and maybe it'll get to the point, maybe I almost said mutant because it fits, but a superpowered person will do something that starts something like a superhuman registration act, or society will just turn against these people, and then Homelander's like they're Donald Trump, or maybe they make it an oppressed thing, or I don't know how hokey they'll get. Like, will they make Homelander president? Like, how far will they go? I would hope they wouldn't try to do that. That's so on the nose. But I do think he's gonna have like that 40% slice of the country that Trump always had following him. And if maybe, I don't know, either do that or it's the superpower thing. I think that's what is gonna happen. And I think you end the season with Homelander like threatening or seeming like he's gonna go off in Injustice Superman mode, but like they'll take it back next season, they'll rein it back, but it's gonna seem like he's going all out. Like maybe he actually does kill a crowd of people or whatever.
I think that there's gonna be something to rein him in. I think that there will be some sort of threat. I think that there will be a way ultimately to kill Homelander, and that will be neutralized, how he's sort of reined in as the head of Vought, but that Newman, that basically, well, let me collect my thoughts. Dakota Bob is going to be like, we have, because Dakota Bob's the Department of Defense, is Secretary of Defense, right? So he's gonna be like, oh, we actually have a way to kill you. So we know what the, like that, we worked with the Russians because we realized that we would need a way to kill Soldier Boy. We know how to kill you. You are going to calm the fuck down. And and Newman is going to be the VP to Dakota Bob in order to be Vought's sort of representative, so that Homelander doesn't feel totally emasculated and doesn't like flip out. That, and she's going to do that to sort of calm Homelander down. I think that Soldier Boy is ultimately going to die. I actually wondered if the being in Harlem was related somehow to Iran-Contra, where it was something to do with like he was delivering cocaine to somebody to in order to that they were selling to the Contras or something. I don't, or they weren't buying, that it was a message that they weren't buying from the Colombia, the Nicaraguans. And so he was doing it to intimidate them. And that's why it happened. But I think Soldier Boy is a dead man. I think that there's going to be some neutralization of Homelander. I think that he's having too much free reign. I can't see the government wanting.
That's the thing about the show is they allow, which, you know, maybe that's realistic, but they allow the corporations to run roughshod. But there's no way in hell, even in Superman comics and movies, they always have a government agency that's like, you know, since the last maybe 20 years or whatever, but there's always a government agency. It's like, what the fuck? This is an alien. We're not just going to let him run around and not have a plan, or we're not going to try to get him to be like our hero. And a lot of that's going on in the Superman and Lois series, but that's happened. Yeah. Definitely with the Zack Snyder stuff. I can't think of Superman Returns, maybe a little bit of his address, but they can't just let that be where the government's just like, oh yeah, Homelander, you can kill us all, but it's all good. You know,
well, that's a good point. I think that's what the Bureau of Superhuman Affairs is supposed to be.
Yeah, but they don't go after him. They go after
And I think that's going to be a little bit more. Yeah, I was going to say maybe they'll kill. I mean, I don't know. I was going to say maybe they kill Homelander, but I wonder if they pin all of Homelander's stuff on Soldier Boy.
And I can we'll see that too, because they do have footage of it. So where do you think Huey and Starlight go? And then what we saw last week, where does Starlight go from where she's supposedly Starlight no more?
She threw her Starlight costume in the trash like Peter Parker. Right?
They should do that.
I appreciated the reference.
Everybody's going to get it, but I knew you would.
I don't know if they, I can't see them ending up back together. And I feel like it's almost a cheat. I wonder if Starlight represents sort of, you were talking about the Magneto Xavier thing where Homelander plays to like the nationalistic, xenophobic, like racial purity aspect. And Starlight's like, fuck this. Like, let's just walk away and let's just be away from Vought. Because are there any superhumans that aren't Vought controlled?
Well, I guess Payback isn't anymore.
Oh.
And I guess like the only ones that aren't are the ones that can't make the cut. Like the ones that are trying to like get up. But they even have localized ones though too. But like the place that when you start Starlight coming up, some of those people weren't Vought yet because they're like on the indie circuit. So it's almost like wrestling, you know, it seems like there's an indie circuit, you know, there's no AEW, it's WWE, and everything else is indie. That's what it seems like.
They're doing a spinoff that's about the school, because you remember the Blue Hawk, the like,
yeah,
the fucking guy. Scumbag. Wow. I was so happy when A-Train, I thought that was so, but the part where he's like, remember what Coach taught us, is they're gonna have like a school, and I wonder if Starlight does something where she creates a place for superpowered people that's like an altruistic counterpoint to Vought. That's not about the Xavier to Homelander's Magneto, and there's some sort of truce where he's like, I won't kill you, but like she's like, this world is bad for me, I need to create an alternative.
That'd be interesting too. Then I don't know how many more seasons they have. I know there are 8 episodes here, but they haven't. Well, I mean, they're not going to tell you this far ahead, but you would think at least 2 seasons, because this is pretty much the peak, I think. And usually after the show hits the peak, then you definitely get another one, and you might get another one after that, you know?
That's the funny thing is that like Eric Kripke, who did Supernatural, was like, I think he was like, I am going to do like 5 seasons and then I'm out. I'm sorry, what?
I said, he said that. See, I hadn't read that.
He had said that, no, about Supernatural.
Oh, and then it went like 80 seasons.
Yeah, that was like and he like did an interview. He's like, listen, like I learned about saying how long I want to go. I don't think that they'll do more than they have story for. I would guess, I feel like 7 seasons is the max you can go with something like this. And that would even be like, I could see 3 to 4 at the most 4.
Yeah, because I mean it's great, but it's only so much. I'm trying to see. Yeah, so I knew, so Smallville started in 2001, Supernatural started in 2005, and they were kind of coming on back to back a lot of places, or you know, on the same network. And I was just like, how the hell can this show still be on, you know? And
I think it just ended in 2019.
Yeah, just ended. And I watched it a little bit, but CW had this thing where they were using a lot of the same set, so they were very similar, and I just couldn't handle it.
Yes, we're shooting in Vancouver, boys. Like, there's not that much space.
Yeah, I'm trying to see when Smallville ended, but IMDb is a bitch. Where is it? Oh, yeah, so Smallville, 2001 to 2017. So, like, I'm like, how can Supernatural still be on? And I watched every episode of Smallville almost twice, probably, and I was like, well, how the hell is Supernatural still, you know, on? You know, that was like amazing. So Supernatural went from 2005 to 2020. So I was just like, what the fuck, you know? But it just was amazing to me that it was still on. And then any other big predictions?
No, I mean, I would like to sort of go and take the, maybe I'll take a bold swing. I think the Frenchie and the female take a little, take a little bit of, you know, step off.
And it's, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's got to be something with Maeve to come back. And you think Black Noir would come back, but I don't care if he comes back or not. But I think Maeve's going to come back with something to damage Homelander. And I don't know. So that's an untied plot thread. And
or maybe she turns heel.
Maybe. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, she wouldn't be heel of Homelander, though.
There's, like, the 1984 ending where she's, like, I can't beat him. Like it's not worth it. Yeah. You know, I need to, like, they break her or whatever in that rehab facility.
Maybe. Yeah, it could be. And then I think who was I gonna say? Not Maeve, not Billy. Oh, there's gotta be something with the kid. Cause that was left and they kept saying he's not strong enough. He's not strong enough. He's not strong enough. And that would be a really quick thing, but like, would Homelander kill his own kid? If the kid had enough juice to at least hit him to hurt him, you know, would he kill him? So I don't know if we end like that or I don't know, but that's a loose end. Maeve is a loose end. The kid is a loose end. Maybe you see that next season or whatever, he's finally big enough to fight him. But those are some loose ends that I see that have to be tied up. I do think, like you said, I think Soulja Boy is going to die. And then there's got to be one of the boys that dies. God damn. How can you hang on to all of them?
But I could see them, like Mother's Milk, making a heroic sacrifice.
Yeah, because something, you know, it's got to be the black guy. Be the first white guy to die.
I could see him being the one to kill Soulja Boy. That would be...
Yeah, you know, they're like killing himself too, you know?
Yeah, it's like he takes the V-24 and then ends up killing Soulja Boy, but also dies in the process.
Yeah. And then, you know, Billy, there's a nice little scene, the end with Billy talking about your father was a great man and all this shit kind of stuff, you know? I can see them do. I do appreciate that. And I think we've covered most of it. We went a little bit around an hour. Anything you got going on you want to plug or anything going out there in LA?
No, nothing. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is always great. If you want to go to a local wrestling show in LA or buy, support the group, be an all-star. It's $5 a month, gets you privileges of automatic posting, which I always appreciate. So people have to listen to me.
That's coming handy. The captive audience, literally.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's really it. It's all I'm promoting right now.
And I just want to make sure everybody is rating and subscribing to the podcast. Also try to share it. It's good content. Good content, Summer. Do you watch Umbrella Academy?
No, there's so much. I don't know if we're talking about
this. There's a lot going on. I haven't even looked at it yet. I think I'm going to watch Only Murders in the Building or whatever you call it. But I've put it off.
Are you a mystery guy? Because I the first season, I love that show.
I'm a mystery book guy. So, I mean, but first of all, I love Martin Short and
Steve Martin.
I love Steve Martin, and I love Steve Martin I love Martin Short with Steve Martin. So I'm already gonna like the show. I don't know why I haven't watched it. You know what it is? Because Hulu, for some reason, for me, there was a time I didn't have it. So my brain isn't programmed to watch Hulu. And to me, it's just a pain in the ass for Hulu.
No, it pisses me off that I pay for Hulu and I still have to watch ads.
Yeah, that's annoying too. That bugs me too. That's for the shows too?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just thought it was for Raw and SmackDown because they were those kind of shows. So I have been watching Raw and SmackDown on it, but so I don't know.
Yeah, it is. I refuse. I get the bundle, the ESPN.
Yeah, I got the bundle too.
And I refuse to pay for not commercials. It really like irrationally irritates me.
It's coming to Netflix too. I don't know how they're going to do it, but probably with a tier like them. But yeah, I don't like that either. Especially if it's like a show I'm watching. It's one thing if you say wrestling, I'm used to watching ads during wrestling, but not a damn show. But I don't know. But anyway, let's not linger. Thanks for doing the show, Sam. And we will get this out to you. Keep watching The Boys. Maybe we'll come back and see how I give a season recap in a couple of weeks. Have a great one, everybody.